Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Orange and Brown Talk podcast on a Wednesday. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock. We are, like I said, like we've been talking about, in the middle of all this availability this week. We had Kevin and players on Tuesday. We're going to have Andrew Berry on Thursday. But we spent Tuesday's podcast, which actually didn't go up till like midnight on Wednesday because there was an issue with whatever. You guys don't need to hear all that. But anyway, it was technically Tuesday's podcast. We talked about Deshaun Watson and his injury, coming back from it, all of that. So today, let's get into some of the other stuff that we heard from Tuesday. So Mary Kay, we are going to start with Deshaun Watson, but you just put up a story about play calling, some other things that Deshaun talked about. What did we miss yesterday in talking about Deshaun Watson and kind of focusing on that injury so much? What are some other things that stood out to you?
Well, the number one thing that stood out to me besides all of the injury stuff is the fact that he's hitting it off really, really well with Ken Dorsey. He likes Ken Dorsey a lot, and he gave us a little bit of insight into what the new offense is going to look like. We've heard things, we've heard little rumblings here and there, but I think he gave us, just pulled back the curtain a tiny bit on what people are going to be seeing from this new offense. He used the word spread. He talked about motion. He talked about a lot of moving parts with the receivers. The receivers having an opportunity to showcase their skills, for himself to be able to be free to run around and do the things that he wants to do. And it seems like it's an offense completely well-suited to Deshaun Watson and his strengths, which of course is the whole point of all of this. So I think that was a huge takeaway. And then he doesn't care who calls the plays. He really believes that Kevin and Ken Dorsey are going to be working in concert so much that it doesn't matter who in his headset is actually the one calling the plays in the final analysis.
So Ashley, Mary Kay touched on something there, and it was something that kind of one of those weird moments that just stood out to me yesterday when Deshaun was talking. And that was, when that new offense was brought up. And one of the first things he did say is it's a lot of opportunities for the receivers to be able to really showcase their skills. Now, that's one of those little things that probably doesn't mean a ton with how he said it, but I did think it was interesting that that's where he started, that he didn't start with how the offense impacts him. He started with how it's going to help the receivers. And it kind of makes me wonder what this is going to look like for the receivers. Is there going to be some more quick game? Is there going to be opportunities to get them the ball and make plays after the catch? I just found it interesting that the first place he went was kind of what this new offense is going to do for the receivers.
Yeah, I think, because in my head, at least, that's where you're going to see change the most right off the bat. I mean, one thing we know is we're going to probably see a lot more three receiver sets. I know Mary Kay's reported that. We've talked about it. It just seems like the obvious thing. And what they've been talking about for 2 years with Deshaun Watson is his ability to improvise. So to me, when I hear the quarterback can improvise, you also need receivers. It's almost like that fast break mentality in basketball, right? Where it's not so set. We know a guy like OBJ, of course, very good at that. And that was some of the issues with Baker Mayfield, famously. But I think Deshaun Watson is a quarterback who wants guys who can do that and react to what he's doing as well, and who he has a natural chemistry with because of that improvisational ability. So I think for me, that's what that meant. And I do think it's interesting to kind of see how that ultimately is going to look, because as we spent a whole podcast talking about yesterday, I wonder how they're going to develop that sort of stuff when Deshaun Watson's shoulder is where it's at currently, and there's no real roadmap for when he's going to be able to do things full speed yet, as we know. And I really am very curious about that element of developing chemistry with his pass catchers.
Yeah, Mary Kay, it is something we've spent time on, but I really do hope we get to see a little bit in the spring what these guys look like with Deshaun. And I just, you know, the other thing he said too about the receivers is playing in different spots, right? And being able to move guys around. And we've sort of seen as they've gone out and made these acquisitions, Amari Cooper kind of is who he is. Like, Amari Cooper's your number one outside guy, and you can put him in different places, but he's at his best, you know, being that number one outside guy. But Elijah and Jerry Jeudy, and you know, maybe if they add somebody in the draft, some of these other players have such varied skill sets that, you know, Ken Dorsey's got to be looking at this like, okay, I can put Elijah Moore here on this play, and then I can put Jeudy here on this play, and then we can flip it, and then we can put all three on one side. There are just so many different options for him when you look at the skill set of these receivers.
There really are so many different options. They have receivers in all shapes and sizes, skill sets. You've got guys that can separate. You've got guys that can make the contested catch. You've got speed. You've got agility. You've got route running. You've got hands, all different kinds of things, size. So I think that they are versatile enough to do really anything that they want to do. And then you add David Njoku into that mix. And of course, then you have that big target over the middle of the field and in the red zone and in the end zone. So I do think that they will be able to do anything that they want to do. And if Deshaun is as healthy as he hopes he'll be and the Browns hope that he will be, then he will be able to run absolutely anything that they hope to do. And Ken Dorsey is so skilled and so well-versed in the dual threat quarterback from having worked with both Cam Newton and Josh Allen that, as I wrote in my story today, I mean, he's going to know to tell Deshaun when to hold him, when to fold him, when to run, when to slide. And Deshaun will listen to him because he knows that Ken Dorsey has coached this his entire career and has been a quarterback himself. And those quarterbacks, those quarterbacks that work together, they have a simpatico. They just can finish each other's sentences offensively. And Deshaun will know that Ken Dorsey knows exactly what he's talking about in any given situation. And Ken has that over Kevin Stefanski, that I've been there. I have played this position before, not only in college at Miami, but in the pros. He was a former Browns backup quarterback. So Deshaun's going to have that trust level with Ken Dorsey. And I think that's vitally important as they move forward here. So the way that I see it, I wouldn't be surprised at this point. I would not be surprised if Kevin is giving very serious consideration to turning over those play calling duties.
Yeah, that's the other sort of thing we're monitoring here. And I don't know when we're getting an answer to that. But, you know, Deshaun basically said it doesn't matter to him who calls plays. And I can see that. I do think there is something to be said about that connection between the guy in the headset, you know, and the guy, you know, talking into the microphone. But ultimately, they are working together and they're on the same page. So I'm not super surprised that Deshaun kind of downplayed that. But Ashley, that's sort of where I'm leaning too, that he didn't bring in Ken Dorsey to not call plays. It just feels like that's where this is headed eventually.
Maybe eventually, but I think for me, what I keep falling back on, and I'm curious what you guys think, it's this idea that he's really only had Kevin Stefanski in his ear for, what, 12 games? I mean, I just keep going back to, we don't really know what it looks like when it comes to Kevin Stefanski calling plays for Deshaun Watson. We know it a little bit, but obviously even in 2022, that offense just did not look how they wanted it to look, really. They didn't have that luxury because they knew he was going to be out for the first 11 games. So I think this year things were starting to trend in a really good direction, and then Deshaun Watson gets hurt. So I'm still for this idea of, I think I want to see them start the season at least with Kevin Stefanski still calling the plays so that we can see what it looks like. And I think for Ken Dorsey, obviously his time ending in Buffalo, how it did, the luxury of coming here was they didn't need him to call plays immediately. So I think that's true, but I'm still for this original idea that we've been floating out there for the last couple of months.
So Mary Kay, there's one other thing Deshaun said that I want to touch on here. And this is, it's fun. This is all kind of from one quote, but he actually said the word spread offense. Now, I don't know if he misspoke. I don't know, you know, but he said the word spread offense. And I just thought that was interesting. And that goes along with sort of what we've been talking about. But to actually say that phrase, I don't know, that stood out to me when he used that yesterday.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's going to be something that they'll use all the time, but I think that they will be trending that way for a number of their plays. And I think that's why you're going to see more three wides. I think you're going to see four wides at times, or three wides and David Njoku, who's like another receiver, a big receiver. So I do think that there will be spread concepts. And I think that we are seeing some of the college game trickle up. And you will see Tommy Reese, who came in as the offensive coordinator from Alabama, coming in here and bringing in some of those SEC college concepts too. So I do think that you will see a little bit more of a spread mentality. And I think that's something that Deshaun will function very well at. And I think he will be very well suited to it. So I don't necessarily think he misspoke there. I think that's what he's seeing and that's what he's hearing. And as far as the play calling is concerned, I agree with that notion that Ashley was talking about. I've written about that. I've written columns about it, that I still think Kevin should do it. I just am starting to get a vibe that maybe it's trending in the other direction. I don't know for sure, but that was one of the takeaways that I got from yesterday.
Yeah, that's sort of the funny. I think we all kind of feel like Kevin maybe should keep it, but also kind of acknowledge that maybe that's not how it's going to go.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, let's talk a little bit about this secondary, and let's start with Denzel Ward, Ashley, and kind of what he had to say yesterday.
Yeah, I thought Denzel was pretty interesting. Again, one of the things that he hit on was, and Denzel typically doesn't divulge a lot in his press conferences. Usually it's just kind of what we've gotten used to as he enters year 7 here, I think he said yesterday, which is kind of crazy to think about that he's been here this long. And I think the one thing he said, which these two ideas go together, saying that he thinks they have the best cornerback room in the NFL. We've heard these guys talk like this for the last 2 years. More so, though, we've heard Greg Newsom say that each of the last two seasons. Denzel is less verbose, I guess, when it comes to talking like that. But he also went out of his way to talk about how it's year 3 now, where they're entering with that core of Denzel Ward, Greg Newsom, and Martin Emerson, and why he thinks it's important to keep them together. And we know that the last two seasons, Greg Newsom's name has popped up in trade rumors. Last year, he kind of popped off about those rumors on social media a little bit. We know he went after a report he believed was 100% false, that he was asking for a trade at the time, and he seemed to stress multiple times that he thought that was ridiculous. Dan, I know we'll get to Greg more, but he talked yesterday as well, but Denzel kind of laughed it off and said, well, Greg is in the other room working right now, so I don't know anything about that. But he did point out that he's gone out of his way to make it known, it sounds like, to Andrew Berry about how important he thinks it is to keep that room together, because they've been together a few years now. It's now their second year in this system with Jim Schwartz. Of course, the Browns did have the number one ranked pass defense last year, and Martin Emerson continues to emerge. So that is a factor in all of this as well. So I thought it was interesting to hear that it sounds like he has, at least privately, expressed his opinions on this to the Browns front office.
Yeah, so the stability of that cornerback room and the safety, just that whole secondary, I think really is important for this football team. And having those guys, they've been together now for a few years. They all sort of know their roles, which I think is important. I think Greg feels better about his role too, as far as kind of being that inside outside guy who can kind of play all over. I think that's a really good fit for him, honestly. And the development of Martin Emerson, you know, Denzel Ward is the guy that got paid, obviously. So, he is who he is. Mary Kay, this was the best defense statistically, or the best secondary statistically in the NFL, the best defense statistically too. When push came to shove, though, in that Houston game, they didn't do so great. And I thought it was interesting that Denzel sort of talked about that game. They're trying to just move on from that football game. But they're, you know, that one still kind of sticks in my mind a little bit, that they were legitimately a great pass defense. But then you faced a rookie quarterback for a team that was injured and barely made the playoffs, probably shouldn't have even been in the playoffs, and you got torched. Like, so they might be the best secondary in the NFL, but they have some work to do, I think, to really establish that.
They do have some work to do, and I don't think that they should look at that game and just write it off as we had a bad day. We picked a bad day to have a bad day. I don't think it's that. I think it's more than that. I think you have to really break that film down. I think you have to evaluate what went wrong, how it went wrong, how the Texans attacked them, what CJ Stroud was able to do to them, and just at every level of the defense, what went wrong. And if they don't do that, they could be in some trouble in 2024, because as we have mentioned many, many times, they have a very formidable gauntlet of quarterbacks coming at them in 2024. And it's gotten better since free agency, because now you've got either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields in Pittsburgh, right? So you've got Joe Burrow coming back healthy. You've got Patrick Mahomes coming in. You've got Dak Prescott. You've got Tua. Really, really good lineup of quarterbacks. So they've got to be on point. And that's another reason why I think they do need to keep the band together. And also, so many teams, of course, are playing more of those spread concepts and more three wides and four wides. So there's no way that you're going to go getting rid of one of your best cornerbacks. I just do not see that happening. I think they, in addition to picking up Greg's fifth-year option, which will happen by May 2nd, I think that they will work towards a longer-term deal with him. So I just don't think that's going to be much of an issue. I think Denzel's wishes will come true, that they get to stay together. But I do think that they have really got to take an unflinching, there's my word, an unflinching look at themselves and try to determine what in the heck happened in that game.
Yeah, and there were other games too, Ashley. I mean, we've talked the Rams game. You know, Matthew Stafford kind of had his way in that game. There were other games too, and obviously it's not always just the secondary's fault, but, you know, they were really good, and they're a young group, and I think they certainly have room to continue to get better and be really good again. But I'm with Mary Kay. Like, you can't just write that Houston game off as picked a bad day to have a bad day. Like, that happened, and that was real, and you're going to have to face guys, you're going to have to face quarterbacks and passing attacks like that multiple times this year. So, I mean, it could go sideways quick.
Yeah, I was thinking yesterday, just thinking about his press conference and what he said and what we've heard from this team and the defense since that wild card game. It's almost like there were two competing ideas coming out of that in regards to the wild card game and how it ended. And I kind of feel like that about the offense as a whole, because I thought it was funny how Denzel Ward got up there and said, you know, a big part of the reason he decided to show up for the first day of the offseason program, because of course it is voluntary, is because of how the season ended last year, because of how that game went. And it sounded like a lot of guys on the team, on the defense, also felt like that. At the same time, he's saying, oh, I haven't rewatched that game. I'm probably not. Just kind of want to move on from it. And of course, as Mary Kay said, all the comments about we picked a bad day to have a bad day, because I don't think that's what it was. I think those earlier games where they struggled against the Rams, against the Broncos, it seemed like the Texans did a lot of similar things to this defense, and the problems were similar, right? Most notably, not being able to sack the quarterback. Those were big issues in those losses. And again, I can say this until I'm blue in the face. It was not to me about home versus road splits with this defense, with this team. I think it was about the savviness of the coordinators they went against, of the quarterbacks, and that plays into the tougher schedule. So I do think, I kind of wonder almost like what's just talk in these messages versus what is true. I mean, maybe for them, it's almost just a talking point to say, oh, we're moving past that game. We're not going to dwell on it. But I hope that's the case, because if they really are, I think there were some serious problems that you need to correct and learn from in that game. But at the same time, you know, Denzel also said, no one's resting on our laurels with this being the number one defense. And that was a big part of guys showing up on Monday, too. So I'm fascinated by that dichotomy going on. And I do wonder which part of this is just the talk. And I hope it's just the, oh, we're just going to move on. It was a bad day, et cetera.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
So let's spend a little more time on Newsom then. He spoke yesterday to Offsite. He was at an event for the Berea Mid-Park High School girls flag football team. So he talked a little bit there briefly. And, you know, obviously, look, I think Greg Newsom just naturally is going to be part of trade speculation, whether it's legitimate or not. Like, it's just going to be until there's some long-term solution, it's just going to happen, because when you talk about this stuff, you look for, okay, who's going to be the odd man out here? And so I thought it was interesting, Mary Kay, he talked a lot about how he doesn't pay attention to that stuff. Maybe his friends and family will tell him about it, but he's kind of stayed out of it. When it came to extension talks, he told his agent, don't talk to me about it. Just, you know, he essentially said, if something happens, let me know. But he doesn't want to hear about it. He struck a very different tone yesterday than what he's, you know, Greg has always been a keep receipts guy, on social media guy. It's something that I think fuels him and drives him. He looks for some of that stuff, but I don't know. It was one press conference at a high school football field in, you know, April. So we'll see. But he sounded like a guy who sort of just wants to take a step back, stay off of social media, just kind of be a little more mature, worry about his role on this football team, and just not worry about a lot of that outside stuff. That's hard to do, you know, for a guy like that, but it sounds like that's kind of what he wants this year to look like for him.
Well, first let me say really quickly that I wish they had flag football, girls flag football, when I was in high school, because I would have loved to play flag football. So you go, girls. I'm happy that you have that. That is so exciting and so fun. And it's just going to open up a whole new world of sports for all of these girls and all these young people. And I have dreams. I think you guys probably do too, or maybe you don't. But I sometimes have dreams that I'm out there playing football with the Cleveland Browns, that's part of my job, is to actually play the game. And I would have loved to have played flag football. So I'm jealous. I'm a little jealous, but so very happy for the girls. So that's my public service announcement. But in terms of Greg Newsom, I think, once again, he's growing up. What we have to remember about these guys is they draft them very young, and we kind of watch them grow up. When we went to the retirement press conference yesterday of Rashard Higgins and Christian Kirksey, it helped me to realize, it drove home the point that, you know, we watch these guys when they're so young, and then we watch them mature and develop, and they go through their ups and downs, and they're doing things on the sidelines that they're not supposed to do, or they're saying things that they wish that they could take back, or they, you know, say something about whatever. And It takes time. Look at David Njoku. We have watched the evolution of David Njoku. Having raised a young man now to the age of 27, I really do believe that there is something about turning 25 and all of a sudden the frontal lobe reaches its potential and things come together and you mature into. It hasn't happened for Dan yet. We're still waiting for that. But when it happens.
Yeah, still working on that one.
We're still working on it for Dan. He still gets carded when we go out and stuff like that. But no, 25 is like the magic number. So, you know, these guys, you start to see that in them. And I think that's happening for Greg Newsom. I think he's grown up a little bit before our very eyes. And he showed up on the doorstep pretty mature to begin with. He came out of Northwestern, came from a good family situation, was raised with great family values and things like that. So he arrived on the doorstep already pretty mature, but you still see that development in them. And I think he understands the importance of team and the importance of playing your role and doing what you're supposed to. He's becoming even more of a leader on this football team. And I think that's great. I think he handled that press conference extremely well yesterday.
And I want to second what you said about flag football. Standing there watching that practice, it was fun. It was fun to watch. And I know that I don't know where this is exactly in the process, but I think they're trying to get it as an OHSAA sanctioned sport. So that would be great. And just to have those opportunities to actually play football without having to, you know, go play on the regular. Like, you can actually just go play football. Like, that's awesome. I love it. And by the way, me and Scott Petrak and Chris Easterling all put together. We're going to put together a little coaching staff and take over. I think Chris is going to be our defensive coordinator. Scott's going to be the OC, and I'm just going to be the CEO head coach. So any high schools out there looking to start a team, I've got a coaching staff put together. Mary Kay and Ashley, you're welcome too. You know what, Scott, you're out.
That's what I'm saying. You need to let Mary Kay coach the offense. That was my first thought. Sorry, Scott. Yeah. We do special teams.
Mary Kay does need to be my OC. That's a good call. Scott, we'll find it. Well, you can be like special the teams. Offensive quality control or something like that.
Yeah. So I love it. Yeah, I did not. You know, I graduated high school in 2011, so we did not have like a official flag football team, but we did have Powder Puff football each year, and it was always a big deal because it would happen during the crossover of volleyball and basketball season, so both would be going on. Like, we either wouldn't have started games quite yet for basketball, volleyball might still be going, or had just started basketball games, volleyball would be in the playoffs, and that was a huge chunk of girls who wanted to play. But our basketball coach, I remember a couple years, would always get mad because he thought we had too much focus on this intramural Powder Puff football games that we would play on the field on like a Thursday night. And a couple of years, we did get kicked out of basketball practice early because he felt like our focus wasn't there. And it was never a good thing to get kicked out of practice because you knew you would come in the next day and just have to run and it would be miserable. So, yeah, that was my fun little Powder Puff football experience. Was it wasn't allowed to take away from the actual sports we were playing. So I do think now it's cool that it might be one of those OHSAA real sports, quote unquote, one day.
And there will be a numbers game, so a lot of people will be able to participate.
Yeah.
And I really think that in some of the flag football that I've seen so far in ads and different things like that, that the NFL is trying to promote the game, I mean, you can really see the athleticism of these girls, the speed, the agility. It's going to be fun to watch, and I'm excited about it. I would love to coach it, and I'm sorry I never got a chance to play it, but I guess it's never too late for that either.
Well, I'm telling you, if there's some like high school athletic director out there who's listening, we'll come get your program started. We'll get you pointed in the right direction. We'll do it for, I'll do it for free. I don't want to speak for everyone else, but we'll at least do it for cheap. You know,
Dan,
give us a call here on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast.
I know you give off this demeanor of calm, cool, collected. I just want to be a CEO head coach, but I would worry about you in this role because I've heard you tell stories about coaching youth sports people. And you get stressed out after the fact about some of your decision making.
Sometimes in the middle of the night, I do wake up and think about this one game we lost when I was coaching fourth grade basketball against the best team in the league. We had the upset. We were going to win the game. We were going to beat them. And yeah, I picked the wrong ball handler. Anyway, let's talk more Greg Newsom. Mary Kay, the age thing is really good to point out, because I remember when they drafted him, Andrew pointing out how young he was, and just pulling up his Pro Football Reference. He was born on May 18th, 2000. He's going to turn 24 in a month. That is really young for a guy in his fourth year in the NFL. And mm-hmm. I do think it's easy to forget sometimes, because these guys are put up in front of us, and we see them on the field, and they're talking behind microphones and press conferences. It's easy to forget how young some of these guys actually are. And Greg in particular, because he's such a good talker and he's always been so good at it. And he's always been so out there. So Ashley, I do think, like, if we see Greg sort of mature over these next couple years, it really shouldn't be all that surprising.
No, I do think one of those examples, right, was two off seasons ago, where we saw him very vocally complaining about not wanting to play in the slot again in 2023, the famous NO, all caps, big response to a fan who asked him if he would be open to it. And I'd also be curious, I don't know if Greg would ever get this introspective with the media. I will say Greg Newsom is one of those players who I think does a beautiful job in dealing with the media and interviews and all of that. He's gotten votes for the good guy. He hasn't won it. I'm sure he's on his way to winning a good guy award one of these upcoming years. But I do wonder how much that Jim Schwartz impact has played a part in this too, because what would we talk about when they hired Jim last year? It was, he's not going to stand for this kind of stuff. And maybe Greg Newsom is an example of that. And it's been a huge positive, it seems, because even last year, the trades, you could tell it bothered him. Again, he was very vocal on social media. I was kind of shocked to read that quote yesterday when you got back, Dan, about him saying he doesn't pay attention to it. Because I'm like, this is a whole new attitude that we've seen from Greg on this. Because he definitely would talk about paying attention to it the last couple of years. So I'm really curious. I would love to know how much of this is just, hey, natural progression. He was like 22 and 23 and now he's getting more mature, but also the influence of having the defensive coordinator that he has now, I think, is really fascinating and could be a big part in this.
And I think we can all agree that if we were 20 years old and you gave us a lot of money and put us on a pedestal and we were playing in front of 70,000 fans every Sunday, we'd probably do some things that we'd regret and say some things that we'd regret. And Greg hasn't really had any major missteps, but it's just, you know, sometimes a little too much Twitter or something like that, but he's kind of grown into it. And I think he understands sort of what his role is and how he can eventually kind of get that big payday that maybe he's looking for. Okay. I think that's good. We're going to hear from Andrew Berry on Thursday. We'll recap that. Lance and Tim will do their final draft pod that is coming on Friday. So like I said, just get subscribed on Apple Podcasts and Spotify to Orange and Brown Talk. Find us on Instagram, Orange and Brown Talk, YouTube, Cleveland Browns on Cleveland.com, and of course, become a Football Insider subscriber, Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. For Mary Kay and Ashley, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.